This is Eddie Money.
I can't bear to listen to the rest of the festive routine.
Oh, Tim.
Genius. Is it loud where you are? Hello.
It is. Behold the power of
it. Break it up. All right. Hello there. It's 1 minute and 13 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of October in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by, making part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and slightly more efficient studios of Movement 107.5 here on AM 970. Silent seat. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening patronage for this fine Thursday. And welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically today, by God, you can do it. It's honestly just as simple. You email to rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. It occurs to me that I'm neglected to turn on the call screening software. I'll be missing out on Scotty J's running commentary today.
It's largely consistent with...
Shut up! Do what I tell you to do! It's 503-733-2970. You could also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Wait, you smell that? That's the smell of the best show ever! Coming your way right now. Now, moment. I guess we're not starting with any '80s music today. Are we not gonna pillage the '80s pile?
Oh, we can today. I just thought, you know, since the first bit of the show went so poorly yesterday.
Please, I want to feel older.
Yesterday was fantastic. Yesterday was one of those programs. You know what it is? Sometimes you're creating memories without even realizing it. That's what yesterday was. Yesterday is going to be one of those programs that we reflect back on in the future. Remember that time that we had the worst show of our lives? There we were in the moment. That's what's it. Oh, thank you. There you go.
Here's a little bit about Jack and Diane. Doing the best they can. Here on 970 Music Radio.
You could probably hit... You know, you and I have never done the post-hitting contest. It's probably a whole series of songs.
You know, it's been years since I've hit one. But let's try to hit this one right now.
Oh, you're hitting it. You're hitting a secondary post there.
Is that the primary or secondary?
I don't know. I can't remember how it works now.
Here's a little ditty about Jack and Diane.
About Jack and Diane.
That's pretty great. Is this a whole Mellencamp CD?
It is.
Really? Is this like a best of or something?
I think so.
Pick another Mellencamp track right now. See if I can do it. All right. Yeah, let me just settle in here.
And.
Oh, okay. Oh, what is it? Is this
the best music.
Hey,
at 9:70 a.m.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along today. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's little John Mellencamp making it hurt so good. Oh, damn.
I just had practice.
Two measures too fast. He's making it hurt so good for you on this Thursday.
Nice.
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay.
All right, get back in the kitchen.
I have no idea.
All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 3 minutes after 11. That's right, 3 minutes on the right side of 11 o'clock. Thank you for coming by. If you'd like to take part in today's program, it's 503-733-2970. Here's John Mellencamp right here on the Rick Emerson Show on AM 97. Ah, God damn it! I fight the post, and the post always wins. Sons of bitches.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. Doesn't matter.
All right.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah, okay. And.
Monobed, I need you.
And there's the monobed coming up now. You know, the great thing about having this is spread out in two different buildings is it's sort of like everything's
it's
a
Jedi. Like I have no hands.
Everything is a Jedi mind trick. We reference the bed, and somehow magically the bed suddenly turns itself up in volume. All right, we are here in the studios of Movement 107.5 today. So if you were listening yesterday, God bless you. If you heard every cruciating moment of yesterday's 11 o'clock hour,
it wasn't as bad as we thought it was.
It couldn't possibly have been as bad as I thought it was. But we are here today.
You didn't date after the show.
Oh, man. You don't even want to know.
He made a beeline straight for the candy machine, and he wrote up with cookies and chips.
Seriously. And while we're talking here, Jeff McGinley, if you can hear me, if you can duck into the studio while I'm doing this and make sure that the call screener, the Telo software, is actually connected. So, Jeff McGinley, if you can do that, because I want to be able to make sure that I can do it. terms of like mailman personal, I want to make sure that no one got it. Sort of fair. Anyway, so Tom Likas is going to be in town. This is the reason we're doing this whole thing. Can you imagine if yesterday had happened while Tom Likas was here? I mean, he would have shot us all and then set the building on fire.
He would have yanked the door off the hinges.
Ah, we are there. No, okay, we're good. Thank you. Fantastic.
What are we doing?
No. The call screening software is up.
All right.
Oh, maybe it's connected. Well, no, because we are all. We should give people sort of an idea of the physical layout here before we move forward. So Sarah and Tim and I are
in this luxurious studio.
It really is luxurious. It's going to be so hard to go back to our other studio. You know, God bless the people in the Coin Tower. You know, it's a great place to work, and we love everybody there, but, you know, we're just, and I say this with all due respect,
like
just
going
from
Beverly Hills to Compton.
Seriously, in the Inglewood of radio broadcasting studio. We are in this room over at the Coin Tower that really, with all due respect and love, is just a cesspool. I mean, really, and I mean that.
Why
with
we
all...
say it lovingly?
No, it's got its own charm.
It's
really
a heartfelt.
No, it's got a certain ragged allure to it. It really does. But then we're over here today that Sarah and Tim and myself are over at this building on First Avenue. Meanwhile, Scotty and a lot of the other assembled engineers, they are over at the Coin Tower. And so this is exactly the same setup we're going to have to use next week when Tom Likas is here. So next Thursday, Likas is going to be here, and he's going to be joining our show in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to be in the studio, and then he'll be doing his national show from here. Then the next day, which is next Friday, he's going to be at Barracuda. So we wanted to do this whole run through yesterday, and it was going to be a one-day thing. We were going to come in, we were going to knock out a brilliant show, and that's it. They were going to be locked and loaded for next week. Except cute Bill Curtis voice, except things didn't quite work out that way. And so yesterday there were some hurdles that lurked between us and greatness. So we're going to do it again today. And by God, we're going to do the show from here every single day until the whole freaking thing works properly. Until we execute a program flawlessly and without error. Which will be today, of course. You can smell it in the air coming over the hills like so much napalm. It's... victory.
I like it. It's got a real chair instead of a stool taken from a sandwich shop. Over 30 years in the business, and that's the kind of respect I deserve.
This, by the way, this is the greatest. This is the greatest thing about
the
studio.
If you're waiting for the big time, this is it.
That's what you get for moonlighting in Salem.
I know.
We'll talk about that in a second. We really ought to do, but if we ever move out of that to the Coin Tower, if we ever move into like a larger studio, if anything ever changes, then we really ought to get photos of it. Because people come, and look, we should say as a preface, I do not mean this in sort of an obsequious kind of way. I mean, I think we really dig working at CBS. CBS has treated us, I think, probably as well as, if not better, than anybody else we've ever worked for. I mean, the only thing is, Fisher was really nice to us. Intercom was, you know, they were there.
Yep.
Intercom always seemed...
it was the best they could be.
Intercom, really, they always seem to treat the fan guys well. But CBS is really great to us. They really are. But I got to say, people come to see where we do the show now, in the Coin Tower, and they come in, and you can just sort of see the spark in their eyes go out when they walk in the studio. Sort of like when I was a kid and I would hear Larry King on the Mutual Broadcasting Network.
Beep-beep.
Doing...
Ding! You got to be a radio geek to get
it. I'm Nick Oren. Would you like to hear about a vacuum cleaner that can suck pollen out of the air?
Are you an inventor?
Beep-beep. Or do you...
This is Mutual, Mules and Sports Radio Network.
It's going to be a fantastic show. I can already sense it in the ether. We really ought to do that. We ought to bring in the engineers, but they should have a contest. Who can emulate the Mutual automation tone the best? Get that Police Academy guy in here to do that. Like father, like son. But it's like when I was growing up as a mere slip of a youth, and I would listen to Larry King, he would be doing this overnight show. People don't realize it. Before Larry King was on CNN television, sitting there in suspenders with his shoulder blades touching each other, is looking like a reptile that's slowly decaying away, he used to be a radio host. And he would do this overnight show.
It was horrendous.
And the overnight show, he would have... The best thing about Larry King's overnight radio show was the times that he would actually fall asleep, which would happen every now and again. Because
you're talking about the national budget at 2 o'clock in the morning. Who could possibly care?
I'm sitting here in the studio with a man that I found standing outside next to a dumpster, picking his nails with a switchblade knife. I brought him in because there's no one else available. So tell me, do you ever find that scratching yourself
can be a deeply satisfying experience. Please expound.
And then he would just, and then whoever it is would just sort of go, well, Larry, and it was always like the most tedious offers, and just people pitching projects that you couldn't possibly care less about. And there were times,
and it was on for years.
It was on for like,
nobody knew it was there.
It was it forever. And there were times when you would hear Larry King doing his overnight radio show, and you would hear them as the guest was going, and sometimes it was a phone or two, it was a guest on the phone, and you hear this,
well, Larry, I wanted to write a long treatise on the subject of deviled eggs because I feel that it's a topic that really needed to be addressed.
And you would hear in the background sort of a...
Yeah, it's fantastic. Do you like Nesquik?
And that's it, man. There's tape floating around the internet of Larry King clearly caught off guard. It's just sawing logs while there's some guy in the studio there trying to get him interested in some documentary he's made about the life cycle of the toadstool. Anyway, but when I was a kid, I would, and I do have a point with all this, and we'll get the mailman Chris here in a second. But when I was a kid, I would listen to Larry King doing this really, in retrospect, terribly awful and tedious overnight show. But in my head, he was doing it in this huge gold and glass studio. It just would be with gigantic diamond-encrusted doors, you know, in a huge room that was paneled in shiny walnuts, you know, whatever. And then he would leave with like a dame on each arm, and they'd go to Elaine's, and they would have cocktails, and they would hang out with the golden boys of radio. And then he would, you know, go home to his swank Upper West Side pad. Probably none of these things were because he's a tiny little room. Because you figure, well, I've been in radio for 30 years. He's got to be treated well. So you go over to it's like that when people come to see us at the Coin Tower. Like that woman, Malia, who came in last week because of Tina Yoders. She comes and she's like, oh, I can't wait to see where you guys work.
Is this a supply closet?
Have we taken a wrong turn somewhere? Seriously. And it is like you've just wandered into some sort of a... It's like you wandered into that place in the school where the janitor just keeps the pink crap that he pours on vomit. That really... Maybe I'm not... I don't mean to sound unduly harsh, but I mean, it's just... We've learned to accept
it. We're a step above the pink stuff they pour on vomit.
It really is a matter of audience expectations, though, that they think it's just some golden shrine-like palace. Now, the great thing is, it's like swinging three bats in the warm-up circle. Having worked in that studio for quite some time, and now coming over here and broadcasting today and yesterday from the movie studio, it really is just, it's like we've got all the room in the world. It really is like we are broadcasting from the holiest of holies, from the Taj Mahal, you know what I mean? From the golden jewel of the CBS radio empire. So, anyway. And here we are. The point is, at the Coin Tower, Tim sits on a metal flake green chair from Quiznos. That's really what I wanted. That was the upshot of this entire thing. 30 years in radio, sitting on a stolen... We didn't even buy it. We just stole it. We had to steal Tim's chair from Quiznos. Metal flake green upholstery.
That's not necessarily the one that's downstairs.
No, of course not. I wouldn't have any of that. Now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see how loud this is.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Program, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How are you doing? Me now?
What's your question? Chris, how is your Thursday going?
You know what? Awesome. Because last night, I got to give you guys props. I have my tickets to House of Midnight.
Are we? Can somebody?
Did you turn up the phone, Pop?
Yeah, whoever is responsible for this.
Thanks, guys.
If you can pot up Chris slightly. Okay, so you went to House of Midnight last night.
I did. I went out there, made the drive, went out. There was nobody there last night. The week, no line. It was fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks for that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's repeat that endlessly throughout the day. I was able to walk right in. It was brilliant and bereft of people. With no customers at all. It's fantastic.
It's not going to be that way Friday and Saturday. I can tell you that.
Not with this ringing endorsement. Remind me to charge them for this later. I think it's because the Dixie Chicks won Larry King last night. Is that true? Were they?
Yeah. So we went to and it was like Dennis said, you have to become a kid again.
Yeah.
But if you can suspend disbelief and let yourself become a kid, it's a very good time.
Now, that is easier for some of us than for others. So I am actually intending, and I think Sarah and her hot chick friends, Sarah and her coterie of hot companions are going out to that tonight. Going out that tonight. Is that tonight you're going to the House of Midnight with your...
Yes, I think it's a mistake. I'm going with a bunch of friends, Lisa and Jay. Nate won't go.
He doesn't like, he's averse.
He doesn't like being startled, yeah.
Well, that's my thing with, like loud noises are a thing to get me. Like the 4th of July kind of freaks me out a little bit. Like sudden loud, bangy type noises, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of. Are you going
so,
with...
Wait, so, I'm sorry, I was talking to CNN. What, was it scary, Chris?
You know, the forest of tears is really dark. That's what's disconcerting for me is because you can't see anything. And then all of a sudden, boom, something's there.
And it's the anticipation, actually. The anticipatory dread in those haunted houses when you're walking through and it's just silent and dark and silent and dark. And then you know there's going to be some guy with a butcher knife going out of like waving it. And plus, I mean, and of course, this is not a concern at the House of Midnight, of course, but I have years of going to those ill-assembled sort of carnival rides where it's just put together with some guy who's out of his mind on trucker's aspirin and you're walking along in the dark and you just know that your hand's going to go right into a rusty nail that's sticking out of a wall. Not that that would take place at House of Midnight, of course.
No, absolutely not, because I was totally feeling my way through that maze in the dark along the wall, right behind me. But the Hatchet House is a little bit better lit. The people that are working there, the individuals inside the house, they are awesome. They're great, great people, and they like what they do. So
fantastic.
I tell you, haunted houses for an adult, it's a lot like a strip club.
Once in that,
if you're experienced enough to know that they're not going to touch you and nothing's going to happen, not quite as much fun.
It's like those guys did at Aaron's bachelor party, just suspending your disbelief. All right, here's what we got coming up today. We have really what must, by any objective standard, be considered the worst story of any kind ever that's ever been read. It's actually so bad. It's a story that is so terrible. It's a story that is so off-putting and so repellent and so horrifying, so scarring and traumatic in so many ways. I have actually sealed it in a special container, by which I mean it's sitting over here on the counter. It's sitting over here to my right, where it cannot accidentally be read. It's sort of like you got to break glass to get to it. Todd the Corpse sent it to me last night. And he actually, I don't have the email in front of him. Todd the Corpse sent this to me last night. And let me see if I can find the email that came along with it. The email that Todd sent me last night, subject line, greatest story ever. And he says, Rick, if you do not include this story in the noon news hour tomorrow, your show is forever dead to me. And then and then he attaches the actual story. So we will get to that within today's program. The worst story you have ever heard in your life. What else we got here? We're going to have a Name That Leftover Tune. We're here at the studios of Movin' 107.5, and in the corner there's a huge parcel of CDs that have been... Because I don't even think radio stations use CDs anymore. They get all this crap that comes off.
I see Smokey using them from time to time, but it's mostly on the computer.
I think it's only when they're, like, fixing stuff. I think it's in very rare cases they'll have to use a CD. But it all comes off a computer. So we got the CDs left over here from various format changes this frequency. We will get to those today. Gary Baumgarten says goodbye. Jim Roop is going to join us. And we have some guy sent me a big pile of 80s crap that he wants me to go through because we're in the Movin' 107.5 studio. Because we got all this 80s music. So we'll try to get to that. And I've got the Britney Spears news as well. So there you go, my friend. That's what's tentatively on the agenda for today.
Any other
news?
Any other watches today?
Tim Riley? I mean, we got a whole pile. It's just what we choose to...
Yeah.
It's just what we choose to tease.
We'll have a geek watch possibly. And another geek watch, and maybe even a cannibal watch.
So there you go. Fantastic. All right, so there you go, my friend. And where are we at push-up-wise today?
You're at 47 going in today. Yeah, see if we can keep it under 50.
All right. We'll check with you at the end of today's program, then.
You want me to read those back to you?
Yeah, no, that's cool. I know, and I got it in front of me here. We'll check them with you at like 2:55 or so.
Will do.
All right, there you go. There's a mailman, Chris. All right, there you go. We got a little, I think a little phone lag or something going on. Is that the phone? Am I hearing that right? That like when you talk to somebody, it seems like we're doing one of those satellite.
It's like you're in Iraq.
I was just gonna say it's like he's on one of those Jerusalem phones. And there's like the picture that's like all pixelated and like moving all slow while he talks. Todd the Corpse says, Rick, help me understand. You do a live 4-hour show every day from a broom closet. But a station that may or may not have live programming has a large, empty, modern studio that sits unused for hours and hours every day during the hours of your program. Why don't you get to use this the studio every day? Asked Todd.
I don't know the answer to that, my friend.
That would be a good suggestion.
What is the question?
There's a little box that you can put those suggestions in.
Come on. Please just send your comments at cbsradio.com. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Dillon today. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a little nervous for tonight.
No. It's going to be... Oh, for tonight? What, for the haunted house?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
Well, I get scared pretty easy. I couldn't sleep for tonight after watching The Grudge.
And The Grudge, too, which was terrible.
Yeah.
Is, what's her name? Is Kiki going with you?
She might be.
Oh, that's Kiki. She's a fine girl.
She sure is.
She likes to kick up her heels.
She really does. So there you go. Scotty J is not joining us. Scotty J is ensconced in the coin tower today, far away from the sharp tongue of the Rick Morrison show staff. There was some unpleasantness yesterday, which I only mentioned because I think most of it was on the air. There were some tense moments yesterday between us and Scotty J because God love him. God love him for wanting to chime in and offer his two cents on things. But yesterday, during the 11 o'clock hour, we were having some technical difficulties. And I understand. We learned later, the real damnable misery of the thing is we learned later that the show actually didn't sound that bad on the air yesterday. Yesterday, most of the things that we thought were sounding terrible, I went back and checked my emails, like 500 emails. You sound fine. Get on with it. Read about penises. You know, it's just that. But it just felt from like 11 until like about noon, it felt like we were doing the worst show of our lives yesterday.
No, but but you get into a funk where all of a sudden you think that it is the worst show, and then it starts to deviate, and you get all lost in your own head. And
I get into a funk. I sprout gold lame from my pores.
No.
You're right, though. But I don't deal well with change, and when I think things are going poorly, it just becomes like it becomes a cyclical, self-replicating thing. And so as we were doing the program yesterday, we were talking back and forth to the engineers trying to figure out, where the microphone level should be set. And is the music too loud or is the music too quiet or is it raining where you are? And meanwhile, Scotty J is getting onto the call screening software and on the microphone going, if Sarah would just be quiet and listen to me, Scotty J, for a moment, we can solve this whole thing, which is a bad idea, by the way, because we were all sort of on edge. And here's the best part about it.
Scotty needs to learn his place a little bit.
And by learn your place, we mean learn your place. No, the very best.
Someday you'll have your own spot in the broom closet.
Someday you'll have your own Quiznos chair.
You'll have your own dustpan in the broom closet.
No, the very best part is that everything we say here in the studio, even during commercial breaks,
goes over the air.
Well, we always say that the best parts of this program happen right before we turn on the mic or right after the mic has been turned off. Well, yes, as long as we are broadcasting from the move-in studios, which is yesterday and today, and then next Thursday, when we go into a commercial break, the people who are running this show back at the coin tower today, which is Scotty and a bunch of the engineers, they can hear everything we say in here in a commercial break. So we go into a commercial break yesterday at like noon when everything was just sort of imploding. And Sarah's saying, just keep Scotty J away from me in the microphone. Have him shut his hole.
I didn't realize that intercom went over the entire
totally. And it just booms right into the speakers in the room where Scotty J is sitting. There you go. So we're one day closer to breaking the spirit. And it will be a glorious day when that comes to fruition. The next step is to keep him in a cell and deprive him of protein and have him go out and lift heavy objects all day in the sun. 8, 9, 10, 12 hours.
Oh, Scotty J.
And then bring the children and the Kool-Aid to the compound. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
There were so many here. I don't know where to start. You hear about this crazy thing? A man sits pews on fire in the Salem church full of people in church. Women are jumpier than men, according to this survey. Clear Channel may sell off its stations. Kind of a scorched earth policy.
I'm sorry, I missed that what?
Clear Channel may sell off its radio station.
Okay.
A restaurant diner has his experience a real one when a passerby throws a urine at him while eating.
Okay, fantastic. There you go. We'll do that in time for the lunch hour, kids. Also coming up today, we will talk to our good friend Gary Baumgartner. Do we know, is this, you handed me the CNN sheet and then you took it away again?
I guess it's a little chaotic at CNN. He's going to call me back again.
Well, what is it? Here's the thing. Is it,
maybe they moved to
the studio. I was just so happy that Laura didn't answer the phone.
Laura Caviezel, God bless her. You made it sound like they were giving him the bums rush. Now, we should say that today, Gary Baumgartner, who is a longtime friend of ours at CNN, and by which I mean that he and I are lovers, this is his final day, right,
yeah,
at CNN? But you made it sound, because we wanted to get him at noon our time.
It was a little weird.
1 o'clock, and it's like, Gary's going to be cleaning out his desk. He won't be able to talk.
Yeah, they said he's not available after 3 o'clock Eastern, which is where he's like, no, we're not going to have him do anything. He's going to be, you know, out of 3 o'clock. The way he worded it, it wasn't like that, but it sounded like
he's standing outside with a box with all this crap in it.
Oh, Gary.
Let's quickly take a couple of these calls here. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello?
Hey, Steve, what's up, brother?
Sorry, my phone's bunch of noise. I'm calling because I tried to call yesterday. My salt battery died about the whole audio problem or whatever.
Yeah, let's rehash it endlessly.
Well, I just called again because you guys were mentioning it, and I thought I would let you know that on the radio you sounded okay, but like when you're on hold and you're supposed to be able to hear the show, you couldn't hear any of the beds for the music during the during the news thing, like the religious nutcase watch or whatever, all the music that comes with it.
Yeah, the key is to just keep reminding yourself that these things are all the fault of Scotty. No matter what they are, no matter where these problems occur, even if they're on other radio stations in other days, it is all the fault of Scotty J. Repeat that to yourself like a mantra, my friend.
Well, he was right about one thing. If he turned you guys up and you did seem like you're getting a little bit loud, but they really had to turn the bed music down. Anyway, speaking of bed music, are you guys going to keep that Crucial Method bed running the whole time? Not on the phone, but it's on the radio. It's going behind you guys while you're talking.
I'm sorry? No, we're losing Steve.
I can't hear him.
Steve, it's like you're in a tunnel. I can't. The humanity. All right.
That certainly had a lot of program.
Back after this. Thank you, though, for chiming in. Thank you. It's 503-733. DeVry Institute is missing a student. 503-733-2970. Back after this. The Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.
We were. I need a moment.
Personal day?
Yes.
Hello, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by, my friends. If you want to email us today, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. So coming up here in just a few, we're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgartner, who is going to be leaving us. He's going to be going off to Paltalk. .com, and he's going to be some sort of honcho there. Later on, we'll be talking to Jim Roop, and we've got our good friend Bob Costantini, political firecracker. Who is it we're talking to this hour? Is it Baumgarten?
Yeah, we're talking because he can only work until noon.
Oh, that's right, because they're booting him out of the street.
That's kind of weird. I feel like Laura's behind it because then they called me too, and they're like, "Hey, can we get a tape of the last show?"
That's the other thing, by the way. We were just talking about this during the break. So Sarah's phone is, as the kids say, blowing up. Her cell phone is just ringing off the hook. And so we go into the commercial break just now. The phone rings, and it's somebody from CNN going, "Hello, this is a nondescript person at CNN. Would it be..." And making a request that they've never made of us in the past, by the way. We've been talking to CNN people on and off for the better part of a decade. So we know that Gary is going to be on the program today. Would it be possible for you to record that program and then send said audio along to us here at CNN? That would be fantastic. Thank you so much. So here's the thing, is you just know in your black little heart that they're hoping to catch him in the act of talking smack about somebody at CNN. I know that's exactly what that is. So... Rick, this email says, "If any part of yesterday's show is to be rehashed, I vote that we go right back to Samantha Fox. Also, my top... Here we go. My top three personal moments of 80s rock were A, the first... I don't even remember prompting this, but here we go. A, the first time I heard the Rock of Ages song on the radio. B, Bobby Brown and the Great White video, Once Bitten, Twice Shy, which is fantastic. And here's why this is doubly fantastic, because somewhere, I just saw it yesterday, sitting in the back of the studio is the Great White CD for Twice Shy. That's not it, is it?
No.
Is that
no,
Twice
no,
Shy?
I have it. No,
okay. Yeah, Twice Shy is back there somewhere. People don't really remember this, but Bobby Brown, who then went on to marry... She was one of those girls who was just like stooping every guy in every 80s band on the planet. She was the Cherry Pie girl. She was the girl that got hosed down in the video for Cherry Pie. She's in the video for Once Bitten, Twice Shy, where there's a bunch of chicks with big cakes falling out of their blouses standing around a microphone. It was a fantastic moment. And the kids today, they don't understand, and this is a common lament of mine, that the kids today do not appreciate the cornucopia of pornography and sluttiness and slatternly allure that is available to them at any moment. If there's any kid with an internet connection, this is what happened to the Japanese. Is the Japanese are just awash in pornography, and so that's why you have videos where you go over there and you rent Japanese porn. There's a bunch of animated 5-year-olds being attacked by tentacles. Oh, hello. There you go. Listen to that. Anywho, God, what a great song this is. You know, and I know that hundreds of people died in a fire and so forth. But you know, I will always remember Great White for this album. This whole album is fantastic. You've got to admire any album that it contains a song inviting women to, quote, come play with Mr. Bone.
Are you serious?
Yes, I...
Oh, is this one of the girls you're talking
about? That is not Bobby Brown, I do not believe. I don't think that's Bobby Brown.
He looks familiar.
I believe that Mr. Bone, by the way, was the name of a guitar. I think it was like how Lita Ford said, like, Lucy or whatever. It just said, Bone, in big letters. All right. Oh, we have Gary Baumgartner.
Oh, God.
Doing fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio... Thank you. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
For the final time.
From the city that never sleeps. From Manhattan. The Big Apple. The thing. Gary Baumgartner. Hello, sir.
Hey. No,
Gary,
I'm not drunk. I'm just feeling high. I knew that was going to be your question. I anticipated it. No, not yet.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I knew you were going to say, are you drunk?
And the question is, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm feeling very, very happy that I'm, I'm sad that I'm leaving CNN, but I feel very, very happy that I'm moving.
Then give us some dirt.
To a new venture.
You are taking your career in an exciting new direction, of course, and we're all very thrilled for you. Are you, the question is, are you on your way to being drunk? Are you on your way to being intoxicated? Or are you merely high on life, Gary?
Just high on life. I've not yet begun to bend my elbow, but that may come later tonight.
Bend your elbow. Bend your elbow in Elaine's with Edward R. and the rest of the gang.
That's right,
I really do have to say, and this is no reflection on the people at CNN, who I'm sure are a fine crew to work with, and I'm sure that they have the utmost professionalism and respect in every single way, but I do have to say this, you really do sound as though you've been freed from some sort of horrible indentured servitude. You have that tone of voice.
Not at all. If it had not been for CNN, I would not have had the opportunity to meet you, and I know this sounds a little mushy and all that, but it's true. I mean, I feel like we're friends. We talk every day, practically. I think there's a connection there that you don't get with every radio show host because they don't all have the kind of talent that you have to be on the air and be real people and to present themselves as they really are. You know, a lot of them are just putting on airs and pretending to be something that they are not. So
no, it's,
I get
it's
the impression
true.
That if we hung out at a place in Portland, it would be just like talking to you on the phone on the air.
Well, we've been talking for the longest time, and I'm sad that it never happened, but we've been talking forever about doing some sort of a listener gathering, an event, or whatever. We were going to try to get all you and Roop and McCarthy, and just kind of get everybody in town, because the listeners dig you guys. They really do. And so where are you at right now? It sounds like you're out and about somewhere.
I'm at Times Square. I'm on 42nd Street getting run over, if you could probably just hear.
Fantastic.
That almost ended my career.
Good God Almighty! What are you doing, man?
CNN reporter gets run over and squash while talking to Rick Emerson. It would have been good for your show, you know, not for me.
I know. You got to go out. You go out with a bang, my brother.
That's right.
So what is it? You're taking a couple days off, and then you're going to start your new company on Monday?
Yeah, I start on Monday over at Pal Talk, and I'm going to do my little news talk show every afternoon. 5 o'clock.
I will be...
Shameless plug. And
I will be listening.
Well, I mean, I'd love to have you on there. I'd like to turn the tables on you sometime and let me.
Hey, you know, Rick,
if I do as good a job as you do with me.
Well, you know, Rick Emerson cares. Rick Emerson is willing to help in whatever way he can.
And Rick Emerson loves airtime.
Rick Emerson loves airtime and is a whore for the spotlight and will relentlessly self-promote him, promote himself in every fashion. Let me ask you this. So before we get any further, just your last opportunity to do this, is there any actual news, is there any actual story you wish to report today in your final day as a CNN radio correspondent for the Rick Emerson
show? Well, you know about the gay marriage approval in New Jersey.
Here's what I don't understand about this. Let me ask you this. Here's what I don't understand about this. And I apologize. We're having a little bit of phone lag today. We're doing our show from a remote studio. So a little bit. It's like you're one of those guys that's on a phone in Damascus. We're having a little bit of overlap.
Right.
But let me ask you this about the gay marriage thing. Because the story broke yesterday just as we were getting ready to get off the air. And we were sort of awash in some technical problems yesterday. And I wasn't able to give it my full attention. So this is in... New Jersey, but what is the actual decision, and then what is the impact on the rest of the country, if any?
Well, the decision was, the ruling by the state Supreme Court of New Jersey is that same-sex couples have the right to enjoy the same rights and responsibilities that heterosexual couples do, but they didn't go so far as to be technical about what is permitted. What they did was they said, okay, that's our ruling. Now it's up to the state legislature to put together some enabling legislation to allow for that. So the battle is not over. It goes from the court to the politics, and they're going to try to determine, is it going to be called marriage? Is it going to be called civil union? Is it going to be called something else? But basically, at the end of the day, and they have to do this by court decree by April the 1st, they will have put together some kind of a law that allows for same-sex couples to have some kind of a formal, official, legally binding union in New Jersey. Now, the thing about this is, it's very interesting when you ask about the rest of the nation, it has really galvanized support for and against same-sex marriage. And it comes on, you know, just prior to the elections in which 8 states have referendum that would authorize some kind of legal recognition of same-sex marriage in those 8 respective states. So the people who are proponents are just all, you know, charged up about it, but also the opponents are now motivated to really go out and fight against it in those individual states. So it could have actually an opposite reaction in those states as the conservatives galvanize their opposition.
Let me just say this, and I think we can agree that there's a lot of people in this country with way too much time on their hands. I mean, I was living in Utah in like 1996, and Hawaii passed, it looked for a minute like Hawaii was going to legalize gay marriage. And like everybody in Utah, apparently they'd solved all the other problems. There were no other social ills to deal with of any kind, because everybody in Utah, the big preeminent social urgency of the day became to pass a bunch of legislation saying that they wouldn't recognize gay marriages that were legal anywhere else in the country. So this is a whole lot of people in this country that need real hobbies or something, or just to... You know, just to get laid a little more often, because they're just way too uptight about everything.
Well, and interestingly, that's going to be an issue after the new law, whatever it says, takes effect next year in New Jersey. Then other states will have to determine whether or not they recognize those laws. So if somebody from Oregon comes to New Jersey to marry his or her significant other of the same sex and then goes back to Oregon, will Oregon recognize that as a legally binding union, or will they say no, and it will affect, you know, whether they have to file, whether they're able to file joint accounts, whether one enjoys the benefits of the other, the medical benefits or death benefits. So it's not actually going to be resolved nationwide. It'll probably get resolved mainly on a state-by-state basis.
You know, there's a whole lot of people in this country who need to get bent. That's what we're going to have. When Roop and I take over this country, it's going to be the United States of just get bent and shut the hell up. That's what it's going to be.
Right.
Let me, as we sort of wind down your final day with us here as a CNN radio correspondent, so I got to do this. This is obligatory. I have to do this, which is to ask you. Now, first of all, you're going to miss. See, you're not going to be there in a CNN correspondent. You're not going to be there in the capacity of a CNN correspondent to talk about Hillary Clinton when she inevitably runs for president. That's the one thing you're going to miss out on. You are not going to be there to cover Hillary. But so how long have you been with CNN? You've been there, what, 7 years, something like that?
10 years.
10 years. Okay, so you look back, obviously 9/11 is a huge story, but what else did you cover as a CNN radio correspondent? What are the big moments that stick out for you, you look back?
Well, obviously 9/11, and not just 9/11, but the what's even going on today as the debate rages on about the residual health concerns for those who rush to the scene. And for those who live and work in the area, the debate over the redevelopment of the area and the unfortunate discovery that they had overlooked bodies at Ground Zero, all of that is extremely interesting to me, as is the debate on the war on terrorism and the debate at the United Nations over many issues like Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. I think they're very important issues, even though the United Nations sometimes seems paralyzed and unable to deal with these important issues. We shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the world is potentially on the precipice of some kind of conflagration or several conflagrations. And you hope that people, and actually that's kind of the premise of what I'm trying to do at Pal Talk, because people will be joining on the internet from all around the world, and maybe they can listen to each other a little bit rather than shout at one another and get some understanding. I don't think that we're going to change the course of world events, but at least maybe some people will get an understanding of what the other's point of view is, and maybe there can actually be some common ground that the leaders, for whatever political objectives they have, are ignoring. And then, of course, Katrina, and I've never been more proud of the network that I'm now leaving than its coverage of Katrina. All the CNN networks did just a fabulous job, and I think arguably it could be said that lives were saved because of the coverage, because it brought to the attention of the public people who were trapped and left behind and in peril, and some of those people were saved as a result of the excellent reporting on CNN television and on CNN.com and on CNN radio. And, you know, when that fire bell goes off, like you say, and CNN is rushing to the scene, and I'm covering it maybe from afar, although there will be times that I'll be, you know, it'll be half laptop will travel, and I'll be reporting still from the scenes. But it'll be kind of tough to watch Ed McCarthy and Jim Roop go cover the stories that maybe I would have been covering otherwise.
All right. Well, my friend, I'm going to get to New York sometime in the next year or so. So you, I don't know, we'll hook up. You got to point me towards some good Italian there because I never know where to go. So.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
We'll do it. Well, my friend, I want to get all maudlin and all sappy about it whenever, but I say the way. I've been in Portland since 1998, and for the bulk of that time, there's a couple of years of firings and the unpleasant employment circumstances and whatnot, but there's, I would say...
unpleasant employment circumstances, not mine, right?
Yeah, not mine. No, and who knows? You know, the day's not over. Could change again today. But I'll tell you what, it is, but for the bulk of the time, which is the better part of a decade that I've been on Portland, we've been having CNN people on, and it's been the same, you know, the same usual suspects for that group of time. It's been you, and it's been Jim Roop, and it's been Ed McCarthy. It was Dick Uliano for a time. It was John Bisney for a time. It was Pat St. Clair for like a week and a half before she got creeped out by the fact that she had a secret crush on me, and she asked Laura to never schedule her again. But we don't talk about that anymore, and I don't carry any grudges about that. But I got to say, the show has been aided and added to immeasurably by your presence and the fact that, you know what, how do I put this? And on the one hand, yeah, you're a great journalist, and you keep, you know, the skein of objectivity when you need to. But on the other hand, there are a lot of times we've had you on the air, and you've just... MySpace comes to mind. Gary, what do you think about MySpace? And we just trigger one of those full-on white-hot Gary Baumgarten meltdowns, which are just fantastic. And I do mean that in a very legitimate sense. I mean, they were great. So you covered all ends of the spectrum for us, and you made the show sound better. So we will miss you. Good luck in your new venture, and we will talk to you at some point down the road, my friend.
I'm counting on it. Thanks a lot.
All right, and Scotty, if you can do me a huge favor, if you want to talk to Gary real quickly and just make sure that we have some contact information for him so as he heads off into that, whatever it is, that thing that Reagan was always talking, purple dusk or whatever. Yeah, just find out, make sure we have contact. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Baumgarten walks off into the horizon. All right, there you go. Well, I'm kind of bummed out about that. I am legitimately bummed. And I forgot to ask him if he knows who the hell we're going to be talking to tomorrow. What if it's Lisa Goddard? He might know. I mean, he's not like he's being fired. I mean, he's quitting. What the hell does he care? I mean, it doesn't matter if he did. You know, he might know. He might not. So
I'm looking at this Powell Talk thing.
I wonder if Laura's just going to poison the new person against us. What?
Oh, she
don't talk to that Rick Emerson. He's no good. He's a slimp.
Yes.
That's what, it has all these like chat rooms and stuff.
Is Gary an avatar with a big head and big like Japanese looking eyes? Oh, really?
Yeah. There's Crayole Cutie and Miss Chloe, who's into domination, slaves, and submission. Go, Gary.
What kind of a job is this?
What is?
It's just it's Gary Baumgarten at work with a big ball gag in his mouth. All right. Well, I wanted to find out because here's the thing: is that Lisa Goddard's been gone all this week, and so part of me wonders if Lisa's auditioning for the Manhattan gig. You know what I mean? Because we have pounded on all of those guys for like the last couple of weeks to find out what is considered the most plum assignment. Because it's either got to be Manhattan or Washington D.C. and I just don't know. Because it's D.C., it's not like it's a bad assignment, but I don't know that they're prowling the corridors of power either. You know, there's something to be said for broadcasting New York, New York. You're right there in Midtown. So I part of me wonders if Lisa Goddard is going to be the new CNN radio correspondent for New York City. All right, well, I got all these emails. You know, all of this 80s music we're playing today. We are broadcasting, by the way, from the studios of Movement 107.5. And in the back of the studios, there's a big pile of CDs that have been left over from the various formats that have inhabited this studio.
Oh, I've got one.
Do you?
To go into the break. Uh-huh.
Fantastic. I don't know. We got kind of a whole 80s theme running through today's show. I already got this. I got a bunch of emails about the Once Bitten, Twice Shy video, too. The Once Bitten, Twice Shy video is fantastic in that it contains, not all, but it contains so many. This is really an ad hoc top five that I put together for later on, like the top five things that you saw in every single 80s video, because there were only a handful of component parts. I would guess probably 90% of the videos, especially the rock videos that came out of the air. So we'll talk more about that. Oh, I got big Kiss news, by the way. I got big Kiss news that we're going to get to. I do have the worst story you have ever heard in your life. Most importantly, around the corner, we got Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. So let's go into the break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. I'm all confused.
Wrong one.
Oh, wait. Let's try this. And... yeah! Is this Walking on Broken Glass?
It is.
Ah.
I saw Annie Lennox.
You know, Annie Lennox...
I saw her walking down the street in London.
Oh, not like in concert, but like you saw her.
No, I saw her walking down the street.
Annie Lennox is another one of those women that not traditionally beautiful, but there's just something weirdly hot about her. I think it's because Annie Lennox to me is always in that Street Sweet Dreams video where she's
looks
all.
Because you think she's crazy. That's why.
Not crazy, but I mean sort of Renfair crazy.
Kind of nutty.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, sort of like Drama Club crazy.
Renfair crazy.
You know what I'm talking about. Aaron's got some female friends that are Renfair crazy. Hot. I'm sorry, was that out loud? Aaron's got a friend.
And Laura gets mad at me. She should hear how you talk.
Yeah. You know, no, but it's the first time that I ever saw her was in that video for Sweet Dreams or Made of These where she looks all kind of scary and kind of bondage-y. Yeah.
Yeah, when she's all, like, shiny and the whip and everything.
Yeah.
Isn't she wearing, like, the mask?
Like she's going to give Big Daddy Rick some punishment. Let me feel the sweet taste of her discipline. My filter isn't really working all that well today.
It really isn't.
Hello. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Stay there.